So in the previous chapter, Dr. Rebbe discussed the concept of love for Hashem. And we explained that why is it so important to have love for Hashem, besides the fact that it's a mitzvah in general. But the mitzvahs that are done without Avas Hashem, love for Hashem, and Yiras Hashem, awe of Hashem, those mitzvahs don't accomplish what it is that we are really trying to accomplish with mitzvahs. And that is, number one, to make Hashem happy in the right way. And if you're doing something for anybody without the right emotion behind it, then of course it doesn't have the same effect as if your person knows that you're doing it because you're so excited to be there at the event, or that you're so excited to do this thing for them, and you really care for them and you really love them and you really want to make sure that every single detail is 100%. So this is number one. Number two, it doesn't help us in the way that we are trying to do it. And the reason it doesn't help us is because, according to the way Hashem set things up, if you don't do with the right emotion, you don't get the same energy in return. And of course, this is also logical. And we know this from ourselves. If you do something for somebody with the expectation that you're going to get something in return, or even not with the expectation, but the fact that you did something, what you get in return is infinitely greater if it's done with excitement and emotion and so on. So this is, we explained before, the language of the Zohar. The Zohar says that the love and the fear, the emotion and the care to do it properly, they are wings that cause the mitzvah to fly, that cause the mitzvah to soar, and that caused the mitzvah to elevate, to be elevated to the proper levels in the spiritual worlds, where they're going to draw down, bring down the energy that Hashem wants to give us if we do things right. So we said that every Jew has this ability to access the proper mental state, the proper emotion. And this is given to us as an inheritance from Hashem. That's what we said in the last chapter, and it's given as inheritance to Hashem because inheritance means that you get something from your parents. Who are our parents? Our parents are our great matriarchs and patriarchs, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, of course, our Rivka, Rachel, Leah. And they were individuals who sacrificed themselves, who were totally dedicated. And therefore, when Moshe told the Jewish people that the Torah is very, very near to us to fulfill completely and to fulfill with the proper emotional state of mind, Moshe was referring, the Alter Rebbe says, at the very least, he was referring to this aspect of every Jew, where every Jew has an inheritance from Hashem. This love originates in the divine soul's faculty of Chachma. The Alter Rebbe explained, where specifically is the love for Hashem? If you want to, if you were a scientist, for example, and you were to say, how do you know that you have a certain something in inheritance from your parents? Well, if it's physical and outside yourself, then you take a look and you can look at it. You can say, this is my parents and this belongs to me because my parents gave it to me. If it's not physical, meaning if it's not outside yourself, but it's something inside yourself. So today we have the ability to examine the DNA. And the DNA tells us as a roadmap what we have and from where we have it. Alter Rebbe says that the spiritual DNA of a Jew is the 10 sefirot, the 10 levels that make up each of the four, the three levels of the neshama that power our body. And the first of the 10 levels that are involved in our neshama is the level of Chachma. So if you examine the level of Chachma that every Jew possesses, you see that the level of Chachma that the Jew possesses, which is the first of the 10 sefirot, this is a spiritual energy, a spiritual power that causes every Jew to choose death, God forbid, rather than to rebel against Hashem in a final way, to convert, God forbid. was further explained the divine soul, the love of Hashem, which comes with the divine soul as every Jew's inheritance from the patriarchs. And they have a schus, they have the merit, and they gave it to their descendants forever. So we answered from the four questions we raised in the previous chapter. We answered what is the root of this love and how did we come to inherit it? The root of the love the root of the love is that it comes from Chachma. And we explained also that Chachma is that concept of humility. A person who is truly wise opens themselves up to understanding and to more knowledge and to asking and and therefore trying to understand yet more and recognizes they don't know everything. And therefore Chachma, we explained that first level is the level of accepting greater things greater than yourself. So the root is because we Jews have access to Chachma of Kedusha, Chachma on the side of holiness, we have access to this nature of being humble and being and opening ourselves up to greater spirituality and opening ourselves up to Hashem's wisdom, Hashem's energy, Hashem's understanding and connectedness with Hashem. That's a natural thing. How do we come to get this natural thing? We came to get it because we are children of great people. And that's what happens. So the two questions remain, and what is the nature of this love? In the Alter Rebbe, that's the language the Alter Rebbe used. What is the nature of it? And what it means is, what does this love want? Every love is just a word. And it's a word that means you're trying to get to something. It means I love ice cream. I want ice cream. I love vacations. I want vacations. I love this person. I want to be with this person. I love money. I love Torah. Whatever you love, you're trying to get to. So what does this love love? You say, yes, you have love. You have a striving. You have a desire to be close with something. What do you want to be close with? What does it strive for? And the last and final question is, we keep saying that there are two wings that the bird needs to fly. And the bird needs these two wings because they are like a helicopter. You have, if you have, or an airplane for that matter, if you have only one wing, you don't have balance. You have lift, but you also have to have balance. And therefore the love for Hashem, which drives us to do the mitzvah, is not sufficient to properly do the mitzvah. It's sufficient to drive us to to wake us up and to give us a lot of enthusiasm. But then we have to be tempered. We have to be careful and we have to do the mitzvah the way Hashem wants, not the way we are enthusiastically. A person is trying to do something. You have to do something the proper way, not just the way that makes you feel good. And what is the proper way? The proper way is the way Hashem has asked us to do it. And therefore, the fear of Hashem is extremely critical if you truly want to do the mitzvah in the right way. You cannot just be loved. It must also be done with fear, which means a certain sense of care. Now, we're going to explain in a little bit that even though the two appear to be opposite, in fact, they are two sides of one coin, and therefore they're completely connected, assuming that the love is truly love, assuming that the love is not self-love, assuming that the love is not, I'm not doing this because I feel good, I'm doing this to make Hashem feel good. Then we're going to explain, and clearly, if you're doing it to make Hashem feel good, clearly you're going to do it exactly in the way that Hashem wants, and that is the concept of fear, as we're going to explain. So therefore, we have to now explain in this chapter 19, which is the conclusion of chapter 18, really, or the sequel to chapter 18, is what else we're talking about, this natural love that the Jewish nation has, which comes from our ancestors, our Mitzvah Yaakov. And we want to know more about this natural love. So to further elucidate the nature of the hidden love, this love that every Jew has for Hashem, it is necessary to clarify what does it mean when it says that the soul of man is a candle of God. Soul of man is a candle of God. Ner Hashem, Hashem's candle, is Nishmas Adam, is man's soul. or as it's translated here in English, the soul of man is a candle of God. In Hebrew, it's stated a little bit differently, the syntax. This means that the souls of Jews, and why do we say specifically Jews? It says the souls of man. And the answer is because the Gemara says that wherever it says the word Adam, it's talking about the Jewish people. And that's just simply a code word for the Jewish people. As our sages say, that the Jewish people are the ones who are called Adam in the Torah, in the Tanakh, are like a flame. What is special about a flame? What does a flame have that other things that are not a fire don't have? And that is that the nature of the flame goes up. The flame always tries, as when you're looking at the fire, it looks like the fire is trying to separate itself from the wick. And it's trying to elevate itself and go higher and not be connected anymore to the wick. The Eitz Chaim, which is one of the early works of, that early, but one of the works of the student of the Arizal, Rabbi Chaim Vital, explains that there are four essential elements, the elements of fire, earth, water, and air, and earth, water, air, and fire, are positioned that the higher and the more, the less earthy, the more spiritual elements encompass the lower elements. What does this mean? This means that what of the four elements, which one is the most physical between earth, water, air, and fire? Earth is the coarsest of the elements. And here we have to talk a little bit about these four elements, because clearly it's not just earth, water, air, and fire, literally. And this is similar to everything that we've been saying about all of the terminologies, that they are poetic. They're not meant to be precise, and this exactly is the earth, and the water is the water, and the air is the air, and the fire is the fire. They're poetic. So one way to look at it is, and this is in a physical way, earth, water, air, and fire. Earth is the solid, water is a liquid, air is a gas, and fire is the energy that combines all of them. Fire is the energy that combines the earth, water, air, and fire. That's one way to look at it. And this is still a physical way to look at these four elements. At any rate, the just like everything in the physical world, and this is a general statement that we've said, that Alter Rebbe has explained to us many times already, that the physical world is a reflection and a representation of spiritual energies, energies that can't be seen and can't be felt, can't be seen with the eyes or felt with the hands. So therefore, this concept of earth, water, air, and fire is true on many levels. It's true on a physical level, that when you take a look at the world is made of solid, liquid, gas, and there's energy that keeps everything together. And it's true on a spiritual level, that there are these concepts and they're totally spiritual on the spiritual side. Earth is not physical earth, it's a physicality. It's the physicality of the thing as compared to water, air, and fire. So another way to understand these four elements are that they are levels of the Hashem's power, Hashem's spiritual energy, as it becomes more and more physical, as it becomes more and more separated, so to speak. So when you look at the four, fire, everybody understands, is energy. Fire is energy. Fire is not even air. It's just the energy of the air. Air already is a gas. It's already something that you can sense. It takes up space. Air takes up space. You can compress air. Water not only takes up space, but it also becomes something that you can actually see with your eyes. And it becomes something that not only takes up space, but has an effect on the things around it that's very tangible, visible. Earth is a solid. You can't walk through earth. You can't walk through a pile of earth. You can't walk through a you know, somebody throws a shovel of earth at you, it hits you in the head, it hurts. Whereas water and air and fire pass through you, so to speak. Somebody throws a bucket of water at you, it's less solid. And air, of course, you throw a bucket of air at somebody, it's you don't feel it at all. So these are four stages, another way to look at it, four stages in the energy of Hashem becoming more and more physical, becoming more and more, in other words, separated from their source. So essentially, when Hashem creates the world, Chaim says, Rabbi Chaim Vital teaches us, and this is an ancient teaching, Zohar talks about it, of course, also with many, many years before that. When Hashem creates the world, Hashem creates the world in such a way that the energy of Hashem becomes progressively more solid, more physical, more corporeal, more body-like. And those are the stages, from first to fire, then to air, then to water, then to earth. So we say that everything is made up of these four. And depending on how physical something is, it has greater quantities of earth than it has of air, let's say. Greater quantity if it's more physical, less physical rather, if it's a gas like fire, then it has more quantities of fire and air. So for example, the Zohar teaches us that the bodies of the Malachim, the angels, have bodies also. How come we can't see the bodies of the angels? The answer is because they're not made out of earth and water. They're only made out of air and fire. What this means is not that Hashem took air and fire and made the body of an angel. This is a mashal. This is a parable. It means that the energy did not descend to become so physical. It remained on the levels of development, which are called the fire level of development and the air level of development, and so on. At any rate, now we're talking about why is it that the soul of a person is compared to fire? And the answer is because we see from the physical world, physical fire doesn't seem to want to stay put. Fire is trying to rise higher. It doesn't want to stay put. If it's the fire of a flame, we can see this very clearly by a candle.